I'm going to go ahead and read from our passage here tonight, from Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. The word of the Lord says this. The people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, 'What do these stones mean?' you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Amen." Amen. And I'm just going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had in your presence. I pray, Lord, that you give me words to speak, that you give us ears to receive your word, God, and that in everything, God, may we leave with something here tonight, Lord, that you change and transform us, and that, Father, we would come to know you better and better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's so good, again, and I know I say this every time, to be in the house of the Lord, but it really, really, really is. There's no other place, I think, that where we can find true joy, true peace, true purpose than in the Lord's presence. And above that, to be in a place where we can fellowship with our brothers and sisters and the people that we, you know, do this journey of life with, and we praise God together. For tonight, in my short word, I wanted to speak a little bit about these stones of remembrance that we read about in Joshua chapter 4. The Lord put this on my heart to speak about. And I want to share a few thoughts, a few things that I feel like we all can take here today when we talk about the stones of remembrance that the tribe of Israel took from the Jordan, and what the Lord tells us to do, what the Lord told the people of Israel to do when they saw those stones of remembrance. Just to put this verse that I read in context, Israel, the children of Israel, had waited 40 years for this moment. This moment, a moment where they could see finally the promises of God, the promised land, come to life. They were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, going round and round and round. But one day, God appointed Joshua and told the people of Israel to cross through the Jordan River into the promise that the Lord gave them. Throughout these 40 years, there were a lot of bumps, there were a lot of obstacles, there were a lot of things that they wrestled with. There were water shortages, there were food shortages, and the Lord provided manna and quail every single day for them. They were facing attacks by enemies like the Amalekites, and the Lord was there for them. There were also periods of rebellion that they went through. The story of the golden calf, as we all know so well, periods of rebellion where they seem to have forgotten what the Lord has done for them so far. There were plagues and there were judgments on the people of Israel in that time too. And they even got to the point in Numbers chapter 14 when God got so fed up with them that he said, I'm done. I just want to wipe them off the face of the earth. I don't want to have anything to do with them. But the Lord, in his mercy, brought them to the promised land. Through all the wonders, the stories, the headaches, and the heartaches, they finally reached a moment where the promise, they can see it, and the promised land felt tangible. And it's a very interesting parallel to our Christian life, too. By nature, we were all born into sin. We were all under the bondage of sin, like the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. God set us free through the miraculous work of the blood of Jesus on the cross. Just like God split the Red Sea and the Israelites went through, a lot of us maybe have went through periods of wilderness like the Israelites went through. But the sad part is that many Christians are satisfied with the wilderness just on the border of the promise that God has for them, and they never cross into the Jordan. In order to occupy the promised land, God has called the people of Israel and had called the people in Israel to an even greater faith than they had before. The Israelites had gotten to this point by faith, but in order to conquer and to be victors in the land that God had for them, God called them to an even greater amount of faith. So in order to propel Israel's faith and to accomplish the plan and the call of God, God calls them to do what we read in these verses during their first act going into the promised land. He calls them to remember, and he calls them to testify. In order for us to develop the faith, to reach the promises of God and the places that God has for us, the first step is remembering the Lord's provision. And in order to walk the promises of God, we must first remember where the Lord brought us and where he's taking us. Again, 40 years of walking in the wilderness, this is a generation that is new. Maybe they heard about what God has done in Egypt. They heard about the Red Sea and the passing of the Red Sea. Up until this point, they celebrated Passover 40 times. Up until this point, they had about 40 years of manna just appearing miraculously on the ground, quail seemingly coming from nowhere, just appearing for meat. And a lot of these people have grown accustomed to the Lord's provision and said, well, there's manna here today. There's going to be manna here tomorrow. I guess that's just a normal thing. But in reality, what looked natural and what looked routine ended up being something that God was supernaturally doing every single day. And so after crossing the River Jordan, God tells Joshua to take 12 stones from the riverbed. And I'm going to read verses 22 and 23 one more time. This is what he says. You shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. The thing is, church, is that just like God commanded Israel to remember where God is taking from, God also commands us to remember his power and his provision in our own lives. One of the things we need to be better at as Christians is remembering the Lord's provision. A lot of times we look at the negative things, the bad things in our life, and we just think, you know, everything's out against me. It's so hard. It's so difficult. But we fail to remember where God has brought us from before. The Passover was such a huge event of remembrance of how God delivered. Every single Sunday that we gather here, we celebrate communion. Again, remembrance of where God has taken us from in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. God commands it multiple times in Deuteronomy. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord God has led you, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Again, in that chapter, you shall remember the Lord your God. The truth is, oftentimes we get so used to our daily lives, we fail to remember that every day is a gift from God. And that remembrance is not just a mental exercise that we do every day. In essence, it's a discipline that we need to strive towards, because we need to remember to choose to remember what the Lord has done. We need to choose to remember what the Lord has done. This reminds me a lot of the story in the New Testament of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. I'm going to read that for you all right here. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19. The Bible says, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. This is Jesus, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. I just want you all to imagine for a moment how amazing it is for these men to be healed from such a disease, such an awful disease, leprosy. This is a disease that destroyed their physical bodies, but not only that, it destroyed their social lives. They were outcasts outside on the city, outside of the city, away from their families, away from their friends. This is a disease that changed their entire lives. And so if I put myself in those shoes and I think to myself, my initial reaction to this would be sheer thankfulness. If Jesus were to heal you from such a disease, what would you do? You would jump up and down probably. You would praise God. You would say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But the reality check is that maybe initially we're thankful, but we can easily forget the work of God in our own lives. As we see, 9 out of 10 forgot, or they didn't come back to praise the Lord after. Now, I'm not saying 90% of us don't remember the acts of the Lord. I'm not saying 9 out of 10 times we don't remember. But what I am saying is that sometimes it's human nature that we tend to forget. Why? Maybe we get too busy. Maybe we start creating excuses or explanations as to how God did a certain thing. Maybe we overthink it. Maybe we doubt what God or where God has taken us from. But my challenge to you tonight, church, is to remember what the Lord has done in your own lives. To look back and to say, Lord, thank you for taking me from where I was to where I am now. God, thank you for healing me. God, I remember when I was going through a tough time in my family. God, thank you for intervening. I'm sure we can all, if we really dig deep and we can really think, we can thank God for those moments. But that's not all God calls us to do. God calls us to testify of the Lord's power. Verse 22 from our text says this, then you shall let your children know. Testimony is recounting or retelling a story of how God moved in your life. The actual Hebrew word for testimony is this word called iduth, which literally means do it again. When we give a testimony, the power of a testimony is in its ability to inspire, to encourage, and to strengthen faith in others. Tonight, I'm talking to people, you all here, that have seen the Lord work amazingly in your lives. Am I not? I'm talking to people that have been in situations where they didn't see how God can pull through, but somehow, by the grace of God, we are standing here today. I'm talking to people that have seen or have experienced healing emotionally, physically, spiritually. The call is not to just remember, but church, we need to hear about it. The Bible says you shall let your children know. It's vocal. Your kids need to hear about it. The youth need to hear about it. The church needs to hear about it. The power of testimony is not just talking about miracles. It's not just talking about the big, supernatural, amazing things that God has done, but it's also talking about how God saves us and how he saved us. You know, when one of the things that I've learned when trying to talk to people about Jesus and trying to talk to them about the gospel and try to explain to them what the gospel is and why should a person believe in Jesus, a lot of times people can debate you on the history. They can try to debate you on the validity of Scripture, although we know that Scripture is in and itself perfect. They can try to do all of these things, but one of the things I found that people cannot debate you on is your testimony. When we talk to others about Jesus, they can debate us all they want on all those things, on semantics, on the theology, but no one can debate you on your testimony. In John chapter 9, we have a very beautiful picture of a man that was born blind. And this man went about his day, and Jesus ends up healing this man who was born blind by spitting on the dirt and wiping the dirt on his eyes, and this man was able to see. And so the Pharisees couldn't wrap their mind in this passage about how Jesus could heal somebody on the Sabbath. This man testified to his neighbors. The neighbors came to him and they asked him, "You were blind, but now, like, you see. Like, what happened?" And then if we read in John chapter 9, verse 10, he says, in John chapter 9, verse 11, he answered, "This man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received my sight." A simple testimony. The neighbors didn't believe him, so they took him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees asked him again. And then the blind man just tells them the same story all over again. The Pharisees then called his parents and said, "Hey, is this your kid? Was he really blind?" And then if we all remember the story well, what do his parents say? "I don't know, ask him, he's an adult." And then the Pharisees asked him again a second time. They said, "Tell us what happened." And then we have penned the famous words in Scripture, John chapter 9, verse 25. A verse that we sing all the time, penned to the words, penned to the song Amazing Grace. He says this, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, though, that though I was blind, but now I see." I was blind, but now I see. The power of God was so evident in my life. You can't argue with the fact that I was blind, but now I can see. Church, you see, when Jesus does something in your life, your testimony becomes irrefutable. People can debate you on everything, but when you speak from your own personal experience of how God changed you, of where God brought you from, of how God provided for you, no one can argue about that. And the Lord tonight is giving us boldness to give our testimony. The disciples were, many of them were simple people. They just explained what they saw. They were eyewitnesses. They just explained what they saw when Jesus was there. And the Lord is calling us for that. Because when we give our testimony, we say, "God did this for me, and he is strong enough, merciful enough, gracious enough for him to do that for you as well." In conclusion, church, the call that the thing that God calls us to, I believe here tonight, is he calls us to remember where the Lord has brought us from, the seas that he split on in our own lives. But instead of that, in addition to that, God doesn't call us to just stop there. He calls us to testify of the Lord's goodness. And so tonight I want to challenge you and I want to ask you a question. And I'm going to invite you all to stand for just a moment. And I'm going to ask Peter to come here and play a little bit of keys as well. As we sit and as we meditate and as we go into prayer, I want to ask you a question. What do you need to testify about today? I really believe that in this moment, as we pray, as we sort of go into this prayer at the end of service, that I really think that the Lord is going to put on our hearts something that we need to testify of. Maybe you're looking at me and you're saying, Jason, what if I can't think of a testimony? You know, some of us, I can speak this for myself. I was born in the church. I don't have this crazy, you know, world experience, and then I got radically saved. But I can really think about some ways that the Lord moved in my life. Maybe some of you can resonate with that. If you can't think of a testimony in these next few moments, pray and ask the Lord to reveal you one. Can we do that? And in these next few moments, as you're praying, if the Lord puts something on your heart, begin to thank him and begin to think about someone that can benefit from hearing your testimony. If you were healed, think of somebody that can use a testimony of healing. If you were saved from the pits of despair, maybe somebody needs to hear that. If you're saved from depression, maybe somebody needs to hear that. If you were anxious and you didn't know what you were going to do, maybe somebody needs to hear that. There's power in testimony and in remembering what God has done. And if you still can't think about something, I'm trying to exhaust all the options here to not give you any excuse. But try to think to yourself and say, Lord, what do you want me to tell people? That's honestly what a testimony boils down to, is Lord, what do you want me to tell somebody? So church, as we go into this moment, into this prayer, I want to challenge us to meditate on these words and just to begin to search our own hearts and let the Holy Spirit just point that out in us. Can we do that for a few minutes? With every eye closed and with every head bowed, I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to enter into prayer. Dear Lord, we remember how good you've been to us, for your glory and your grace, for the goodness that you've given us, God, for the sacrifice of the cross, for loving us, God, when we were unlovable. God, we remember all of the things in our own lives, God, where you have carried us, where we couldn't do it on our own. God, I pray that you give us the boldness and the courage to testify of your goodness and to testify of the works of God. Lord, I pray that you instill a boldness in your church, God, so that they're not afraid or ashamed to tell of the works of God. A place, Father, where we're not scared of what people are going to think, but God, where we can declare and we can say, Lord, thank you. And I pray that you bring breakthrough in Emmanuel Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, join me in prayer. Let's all personally go before the Lord in prayer, and let's honor him.